once again, unbelievable. My heart goes out to Nova Scotia, to Brother, and for all who have losses, whether they're new or older, and I'm sure we're, a lot of people are thinking of that this weekend. It's time for Arts Live and Local, and it's a very full weekend, but I have a luxurious show. Wait till you see. I'm very excited. Jim Bernard is here with me right now. Dusty Santa Maria is coming up. And then Mark Josephs is going to try to teach me how to play the tenor guitar, because next week the festival begins. So I hope you'll stay with us. Okay, folks, it is time, and I would like to dedicate this show again to all those who are needing to be remembered. It is Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people just use it for having a good time, and I have nothing against having a good time. I'm all for it. At the same time, we need to remember people who have left us, and some of them with good reasons, some of them wasted lives. And here's a piece from Kerry McNally, our own local musician, Wounded Soul. Thanks for being here. Stay tuned. This is Carol, your host. Listening to Carrie McNally with her beautiful album, My Songs. And Carrie lives in, I believe it's Kathlamet or Skamakaway. This album is dedicated to her father and all original songs. Thank you so much, Carrie, for your music. And for living so close by that we can bring you in now and again as well. As folks around here know, we are very fortunately rich in music. And we're going to hear some today. However, my first guest is not a musician. He's a lot of other things, though.
Right.
Jim Bernard is here with me. And actually, I just met Jim about a half an hour ago when he showed up at the station. He now lives in Warrenton, I believe.
Is that right?
Warrenton. However, this is a man who's been around. And he was introduced to me because he's got a new book, which is he's going to read us a poem from. But he's, I'm going to let him tell you about himself. But he's a captain. He's lived in Alaska as well as on the Columbia. And he's published a couple of books recently. One based on his experience as a fishing guide near Ketchikan at Yes Bay Lodge.
That's right.
And the second one is the one I think we're going to hear from, Inspirational Nautical Poems and Prose to Keep You on Your Toes.
Right.
Okay. Welcome, Jim Bernard.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you very much.
Okay. And Jim, although I don't think you've been on KMUN before.
No.
So you're a KMUN virgin. However, he is very far from being a radio virgin. He's used to put out inspirational words, I believe, on the local commercial stations. So I've never heard him before, but I'm looking forward to hearing him tell about himself right now. So what is your story? Where did you come from to begin with?
Well, actually, both my wife and I are native Oregonians.
Oh.
And my father died when I was about 14 years old, and I was probably a mother's saddest child for a while. You'd call me a juvenile delinquent.
Oh.
So to their blessing, I guess, I joined the Merchant Marine when I was 16.
Oh, my.
And crossed the Columbia River Bar the first time in a ship at the age of 16. And then I spent 6 years going to sea.
About when was that?
This would have been my first trip crossing the bar was in May of 1946.
Mm-hmm.
And
So you were actually too young to be in the World War II, but you were,
My mother tried to get me in the Army, but I was too young. So,
oh, my. She was trying to get rid
so
of you.
So she was resourceful and found that I could enter the Merchant Marine at the age of 16. So originally I was an ordinary seaman going to sea and eventually went to officer school and became a third mate, a navigating officer, and served during the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
And Then I came home. We raised our family in the Portland area, four children, and we actually have 14 grandchildren and 20 great-grandchildren. We're not Mormons. We're not Mormons, and we're not Catholics.
You know the joke, right? But you did make hay while the day was,
right.
and you've lived a healthy life. So you're fortunate to see all these grandchildren and great grandchildren.
It's really a true blessing, that's for sure. Came home from the sea and founded an insurance and a real estate operation in Portland that were very successful. Sold them to the son, and then we returned down here to the coast, where I assisted in the management of the Ford dealership for approximately 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife and I on the weekends would take people charter fishing out of Warrenton. My wife actually taught me how to fish. And
how did she know? Was that just a hobby?
She just took to it naturally, and we had a lot of fun. I was the captain, and she was the first mate, and I'd start yelling at her to net that fish, and she'd say, yell at me once more, and you can come down here and do the job.
Right. And you had your own boat, I presume. Is that right?
We had our own boat, and then another boat that was owned by a retired Flying Tiger, a boat called the Sea Tiger. And we operated that, taking people fishing out of Hammond. Then when fishing kind of petered out here, had a chance to go to Alaska. And so for the last 21 years, I've served as a captain and a guide up in Alaska.
What part of Alaska were you in?
It was actually about 50 miles north of Ketchikan, called Yess Bay. Just a tremendous lodge. You can look it up actually on the internet. Just type in Yess Bay Lodge. And
so did you live there, or did you just go up there in summertime, or what was the?
Well, I'd go up the latter part of May and be up there for 4 months to the latter part of September. And they provided, of course, the boats and the lodging, the food. It's actually like a 5-star restaurant. So
great,
a tremendous spot.
Nice.
We had a lot of interesting guests. Kurt Douglas and his wife, the Butchess Beans fellow and head of Visa, and a lot of salt of the earth people.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of my friends that would come up, and we had a heck of a time.
Now
fishing.
You're speaking in the past tense, so does that mean you're not doing that anymore?
I indicated to them last year at the end of the season that unless they needed a fill-in, that I would consider 21 years a favorable time to throw in the towel, so to speak. But I still look forward to doing some fishing here in the area. I have grandsons that love to fish, but I just love the water. And
do you still own a boat here?
I don't own a boat,
okay.
But I do have a grandson that has a nice boat. So
around
I imagine
here,
he's in Portland, but
okay.
he trailers it down here.
Right, nice, good. You sounds right. Like you really arranged it, and I must say you're wearing a navigational.
Well, and kind of a nautical.
Nautical is what I mean.
A nautical emblem.
Right.
But yeah, real affinity for the sea. And one of the poems that maybe I could read now is one that I kind of like, and then I'll read one that has something to do with our upcoming weekend.
Mm-hmm.
This one happened when I was jogging one morning in the Warrenton area, and it's entitled A Little Patch of Beauty. While jogging one morning, I passed a small, old, run-down home which appeared as though it had barely survived many a coastal storm. But in stark contrast to the rest of the surroundings was a small, 3-foot by 3-foot patch of beauty where the residents had planted beautiful tulips which were in full bloom. I thought how the old house was similar to many of our lives, often battered by the trials, sorrows, and disappointments of life. But yet if we keep at least a little patch of beauty, be it pleasant memories of the past, at least a mustard seed of faith, or all the positive things we have left, and focus on these, our own little patch of beauty, life will remain good and will be given the strength to go on.
Lovely. Lovely, and a good lesson, and that too is good. Well, it's good for any time, but the idea of keeping things, being mindful, I guess, is
right.
What I'm thinking, and aware
Right. I enjoy jogging each morning, actually a fast walk, no jog mm-hmm, anymore, mm-hmm. on the Warrenton River Trail. I call it my Trail of Surprises. I think there was an article in the Astorian about that. But so many surprises each morning I see, whether they're elk or deer.
Do you go out in the rain as well?
Rain as well.
Oh, good for you.
You know, if you don't commit to have it and maintain it, you're not going to continue doing that.
And around here, if you don't go out in the rain, you might miss three quarters of the year, although this year was not quite so much. When did you start writing? I didn't hear that in the autobiography.
Well, actually, I think I started writing when I was working at the Ford dealership. I tried to write things that would help to motivate the troops to sell more cars, and I put together a book called Positive Poems and Rhymes to Encourage Your Times, and these were motivational verses, poems that I would share at our sales meetings and help to encourage the troops by doing that. So that was kind of the start of it.
I love it. That reminds me of the name of your book, Inspirational Nautical Poems and Prose to Keep You on Your Toes.
Right.
So same idea. My grandpa used to write limericks way, way back, and always enjoyed figuring that out. And so you've kept on. That was for a reason. That was, a work reason that you started. Did you find you had an affinity for writing? And so
I think so. Actually, the name probably flatters what I actually do, but inspirational essayist. I enjoy trying to encourage people. I mean, so many people in our day and age, there's depression in a lot of older people, boredom. And I've written many of the little articles have been printed in the Astorian, but they've all been intended to encourage people, to lift them up, because I think at one point or another we're all fighting some sort of battles, and we need the encouragement. And I just kind of like to consider myself an encourager to lift people.
When you write these pieces, is there either a photo of you, or do you tell folks your age? Because I just did the math. You said in 1946 you were 16, and that means you were born in 1930. Which, when you talk about old people, I'm saying, what's old around here? We got an 85-year-old and we got a 70-year-old in the room, and neither of us feels particularly old, do we?
Really, I think a lot of it, I think the misnomer is keeping track of the numerical age. I think that if you could ask a person, how old do you really feel if you didn't know your age? And I know in my case, I'd consider it way much younger, and I consider it a real blessing. Mm-hmm. Now, here's a poem that that David King, my fisherman friend, asked that I share today, and it has some impact on the nature of the weekend. It's entitled Wake of Life, and this one was written on a sunny morning up at Yesbay, Alaska, as a float plane took off. And as I saw it take off, this poem came to me. On a beautiful sunny morning in Alaska, I watched a float plane take off from Yesbay. The water was as smooth as glass. As the plane took off, it made quite a wake. Long after the plane had disappeared in the distance, the wake of the plane continued to lap upon the shore. I thought how similar this is to our existence. The unique wake of our being will continue to lap up on the shores of those remaining long after we have disappeared in the distance.
Mm. Lovely, 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 and full of images, yeah.
Yep.
And we want to give a thank you to David King for getting us together.
You bet.
Yeah. So a shout out to David. Maybe he'll get on the radio one of these days.
You betcha.
I don't know. He keeps on teasing because he's into the music, but I've never seen him here yet.
Right.
Well, Jim Bernard, let's tell folks you've got these two books out. Folks can find them somewhere?
Yep. Most of them will be just coming into print and will be available at many of our local bookstores. I'll be contacting them regarding this. And in the past, some of the books that I've had have been marketed at Camp 18 and also at Fred Meyer's and at the...
And online.
Finishware and online.
Okay. Finware. Yeah. Okay. So maybe... you'll keep in touch with us.
You betcha.
Maybe you'll have a reading at one of the bookstores or somewhere.
That could be true.
And we'll get you back on the air. Or maybe we'll get you on the air doing your own show.
That could be.
Since you're a radio man as well as a writer and a sea man and a river man and all those other things. So thank you so much for coming in. My guest, Jim Bernard.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Carol, so much for having me.
This was just delightful. Okay. Well, we'll let you go. Have a great weekend. You're dressed for it.
So. Same to you, Carol. Okay. Thank you so kindly.
You bet. Bye-bye. I'm going to give you some music from my next guest, who is Dusty Santa Maria, and he'll be coming right in. Stay tuned. Coast Community Radio. Well, that was a recording from my next guest, who is sitting right here, Dusty Santa Maria.
Hey, Carol.
Hi, I'm delighted to have you here.
Yeah, pleasure to meet you.
He's here with a very...
Decorated.
Decorated. That's the word I was looking for, certainly. I almost said beat up, but actually the guitar looks as though it's in excellent condition. It's just that you've... What do you do? Have people sign your guitar, or is that all your writings, or what?
This is actually an old blues tradition that I heard that Leadbelly did. This is when you're traveling around and you meet somebody that you wanted to keep a part of their essence, like, with you, or just remember them, you know, have them sign your instrument, and then you kind of get, you know, you just carry, you kind of carry the history of your experiences with you. This is the only instrument I've ever kept. It is beat up, and it's actually, it's hellish to keep in tune, but I refuse to give her up.
Well, actually, this part looks brand new. It's the body of the guitar that looks, but I...
Yeah, she's well used. She's certainly well used.
But now that you've told us the derivation, I love it. That's beautiful.
Yeah, there's some really, there's some beautiful stuff here. my favorite one is by my friend Arthur in New Orleans, and he wrote, "Dusty, professionalism is a hate crime."
I see. So you never take money for your gigs? Is that what you're saying? No, just kidding.
No, bartering is fine, you know? Yeah. If somebody were to give food and shelter and maybe a nice pair of boots, I would take
that
as opposed to money.
Oh, that sounds good, too. Where do you live, Dusty?
Currently, I'm living in Portland.
In Portland. Yeah. And you're from, where'd you grow up? Or
I was born in a tiny California town called Rainbow, and despite the name, it's actually a very hard working class blue collar town. It's in Southern California. They grow avocados and flowers. And
okay, ironic, isn't it? Rainbow, it sounds like.
Everybody thinks it's a like Astoria, but not quite. It's more like Seaside.
Oh, them's fighting words. We could be having the phone ring now. Dusty is playing tonight, which is why he's in town and which is why he's right here on Coast Community Radio. And the piece we just heard was not you solo, was it?
There were other players on that track.
There were.
Not the band that's going to be with me tonight, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The band that's with me tonight is my favorite group of musicians to play with. They each have their own kind of identifiable style and signature stuff, and they're fantastic. The Singing Knives, they're called. It's named after a collection of surrealist American poetry by a fellow named Frank Stanford from Arkansas, The Singing Knives. And we named the band that just essentially because it's kind of... That collection of writing is exactly the direction that I like wanted the band to sound like. It is it's instantly familiar, and it's stuff that you've heard in roots music and rhythm and blues music and the earliest elements of rock and roll from the 50s and stuff like that. But it's also quite avant-garde and surreal and dreamlike at the same time. So that's kind of the approach that I've always gone with them. You know, I want that familiarity and that instant, like in music, I like the instantaneous kind of like grab and pull, you know. There's a lot of stuff that I like to listen to that takes a long time to wrap your head around, but I like just feeling it in the body first and then thinking about it secondarily. So,
folks, does this sound good to you? It sounds fabulous to me. The Voodoo Room, which is on 11th and Marine Drive, part of the Columbian Complex here in Astoria, and the shows usually start 9:30 after the movies, so that is tonight. Dusty Santa Maria and the Singing Knives, were they together before, and how many of you are there?
Actually, no, we put that band together just as the Singing Knives, but then I've done a lot of touring on my own, and so As a unit, as a group, we decided to use the name. I like the alliteration too. There's a lot of S's in that, and I like long titles. I'm a sucker. Everyone's always like, "What's your band name again?" Is it so long? But I'm
no. But it's lovely, actually. And it's curious.
Lots
too.
Of S's, yeah.
So there are three of you, or
There's
tonight?
Four of us.
Four of you tonight.
Myself included, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how about we hear you solo right now? Would that
sure.
be okay on that? Does your guitar have a name, by the way?
I haven't named her yet, no.
Okay, I noticed it's a she, and
definitely.
She's got some friends with her.
Yeah.
So let's hear, tell us okay. what you're going to do, and if you
want. I'm going to play a ballad, just because that's where the capo's at a fret where I could play this ballad called Dark-Eyed Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, shoo-doo, shoo-doo, shoo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Ooh, shoo-doo, shoo-doo, shoo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Sweet dark-eyed girl, I'll see you again. I'll smile, you'll smile, we'll act like friends. Don't know just how, don't know just when. But sweet dark-eyed girl, I'll see you again. Where are you now? Are you near my hometown? Is the sun on your face? Is it shining down? Never asked where you live. Where are you from? There's no need to explain. How come? How come? I'm out here and you're nowhere. Do you feel your heart? Do you feel me in there? I wasn't him and you weren't her. Baby, ain't it sad we don't know it for sure? Maybe in the grave or maybe in the bed. Sweet dark-eyed girl, I need you out of my head. Oop, shoo-doop, shoo-doop, shoo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Oop, shoo-doop, shoo-doop, shoo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Sweet dark-eyed girl, I'll see you again. I'll smile, you'll smile, we'll act like friends.
Hmm. Whoa. And you wrote that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I could tell. Dusty Santa Maria is my guest. He's playing tonight at the Voodoo Room with his band, the Singing Knives. And I have to lick my lips before I say that. About 9:30 after the movie. So head on
yeah.
over.
Please come. It will turn into a dance party if enough of you are there.
That's great.
I promise.
So do you mostly play original music?
I could play a heck of a lot of covers, but it depends on the environment, really. I prefer playing original music, honestly, when it's right, but songs are like children, you know? Sometimes you don't want to expose them to hostile environments. Like, so it's a lot easier
Absolutely.
For me to go out and just
yep.
play other people's songs and just kind of put on this particular kind of mask. But
and read your audience.
You got to read the audience. But really, my favorite thing in the world to do ever, 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 hands down, is just sitting with one guitar or piano with other songwriters and sharing the creation.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite thing I've ever done.
Sounds wonderful.
Thanks
Sounds
for
wonderful.
Having.
Thank
Thanks
you
for
so
me,
much
Carol.
For coming in.
Yeah.
And you don't have to answer this question, but you're speaking words of wisdom. And my last guest... Jim Bernard is 85 years old.
Whoa.
Would you mind telling us how old you are?
Oh, I'm 32 now, 32 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
32.
Lots of wisdom, 32.
Oh, bless your heart for saying so.
Well,
thank you.
Well, keep it going and all keep right. the music coming, and I look forward to hearing you tonight, and when I get there, I'll wave, and you'll play an original for sure.
Yeah, okay? Certainly. All right.
Okay, thank you so much right for coming in.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay,
thank
and thanks to Jessamine for making the connection, and check it out, The Voodoo Room tonight. And I've got some more music from Stumptown. They're playing tomorrow night at the Pine Grove in Manzanita at 6 o'clock. They're doing something unusual. They're going to play one set of music. I'm not sure about their timing. They're going to play one set of music, and then it's going to be dance, speaking of dancing. Then they're going to have a dance, and sounds like a lot of fun. Here's the music, Stumptown, and you are listening to Coast Community Radio. Stay tuned because this could be fun for you, if not for me, what's coming up after Stumptown. Thank you. Well, this beautiful music, Stumptown Swing. Ah, here it is. Yeah, 5:30, the doors open. 6 o'clock, a concert. One set followed by dancing. That's at the Pine Grove Community House in Manzanita. And that is tomorrow night. And it's Tim Connell on mandolin, Mike Burdett on guitar, Ben Blackman on violin, and Keith Brush on upright bass. That's your Stumptown Swing. Okay, well, all right, folks. Now be kind. Please be kind. My guest, you know, you might want to bring that mic down too. My guest in the studio is Mark Josephs, and we have a silent partner here today. We have Luann, who is part of the Tenor Guitar Gathering, but she has very cleverly, I told her to sit on the side, but I didn't mean way the heck in the corner, so she's as far as she can be from a microphone. But that's okay, Luann. It's all right, as long as you're part of the... Okay, so here's the deal, folks.
We're going to attempt to do something never attempted before, to my knowledge, on KMUN. Am I right?
I think you're right, Mark, and I'm scared.
And what are we going to do?
Oh, my God. Mark's going to give me a tenor guitar lesson.
Live, on
live
the air.
Right now. And here's what we need to say about that. The reason we're here is, are you sticking around now? Are you here?
I'm here for a couple of weeks. I'm here a week before the gathering, and I'll be here a week to clean up with a broom.
Mark lives part-time in Los Angeles, where he earns enough money to be able to come up here and put on a fabulous festival. Only we're hoping that the fabulous festival is going to be paying its own way, and that is the Tenor Guitar Gathering, which starts on Thursday evening. And
There's a show Thursday evening, but it opens up Thursday morning at 9 a.m. for sign-ups, and for the workshops are Thursday morning. And if you want to stop by Pier 39 and pick up a program, or maybe see what you want and just pay in cash for what you're interested in, you can do that Thursday morning at 9 a.m. at Pier 39. Because no matter how much information we get out, sometimes people just want to go there and say, what is it that I can exactly do?
Absolutely. And it's online.
To? You can go to tenorguitarfoundation.org. You can print a program and you can study what you want. And a lot of people have bought tickets and they're driving in from Montana. One guy's coming in with his wife from Montana. I can't wait to meet him in Garberville, California. I think that's somewhere in Northern California, Vancouver, British Columbia. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Anybody coming from back east?
My sister's flying from New Jersey.
Okay.
Nobody's paid for a ticket from back east to come all the way out here,
okay.
But they're coming from Texas. That's Midway.
That's far enough east for me.
And we have players from back east. John Lawler's flying in from Philadelphia. He's coming out here.
That's who I was thinking of. John's coming. Oh, that's great.
And from Nashville, we've got Tim May. He loved Astoria so much. He wanted to come back another time.
Okay, folks. This is big time. If you missed it, what number is this?
This is the sixth.
The sixth Tenor Guitar Gathering. And it is wonderful. The people whose names, that's what I was getting at. I didn't want to mention names. I almost said, what about Philadelphia?
That's right. So, well, pretty much everybody who was here last year.
The leaders.
We are bringing them back. Professor Douglas Fraser.
Great.
Carl Allen. Tim May. John Lawler.
Jean's coming.
Jean Mann, who we know about her because of your show.
Mm-hmm.
She was on your show. You called me up, and that's how we got to know Jean Mann was because of Carol.
And she tunes differently.
She tunes a little bit differently, yeah.
So in case I make mistakes, I can always say, I was thinking of Jean.
And Pat McSweeney, who plays Middle Eastern
Balkan stuff,
and he's bringing in a friend of his that you know, Steve somebody or other.
What? Steve Ramsey's coming.
Steve
Ramsey is the manager of KBCS up in the Seattle.
That's
area.
Right, and he's coming. I'm going to look at a program.
He's a fabulous musician.
He's never been here before.
He was part of Balkan Cabaret. Was here for my 65th birthday. Hey, so this is all starting Thursday, this coming Thursday, the 28th, and it goes through
Sunday night.
Sunday night. It ends up at the Astor Street Opry Company.
Yeah.
You've also, and then after that, people can go over to the Fort George and hear Joe and Ben, also were part of this.
That's right. They're also playing at the Sunday Market.
There you go. So there's stuff happening all weekend, and really, beginners are welcome. And how did I get this fabulous, gorgeous cigar box tenor guitar, which is mine? How did I get this, Mark?
Well, Alan Matta, who I met a few years ago at the Sunday Market, makes cigar box tenor guitars, and he became involved with the Tenor Guitar Gathering. He's really a crucial part of what we do now, and he donated it. Because he listens to KMUN, and he wants to support the station.
And he was actually on the air yesterday. I was listening to the radio, and I heard somebody who makes guitars, and I went, oh my God, I bet that's Alan. And sure enough, Liam had him on as a guest. Didn't give him much chance to talk or play because, you know, that's how it is. But so Alan donated this gorgeous tenor guitar to KMUN for our pledge drive, and I could not resist. I was looking at it all week, and finally I said, all right, guys.
And how is that tuned? How do you have your tenor guitar tuned? I bet it's tuned C-G-D-A.
C-G-D-A or G?
Those are the chords. That's not the... It's tuned C-G-D-A, like a true tenor guitar, or a cello, or a tenor banjo. So and I have another... Carol's got a cigar box tenor guitar. I have another cigar box tenor guitar, also made by Alan, and Larry Aldred made the box.
What's this?
That's a sound hole. There's a round sound hole, so the sound can come out. And he also puts bracing in it.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely. It's just. An aesthetic piece.
The way he makes these necks are really incredible. And because you live in Astoria, if you're in the sound of our voices, you can go to the Sunday Market every Sunday, where Alan Matta has his booth, and you can look at these great guitars.
And get yourself one, and then you can also learn next week, because I am a more than a rank beginner. I am less than a rank beginner, and I'm going to do this right now.
That's
on
a
the
G
air.
Chord.
I have a G chord.
So here we're going to go like this,
okay.
Carol. Yeah.
Okay.
All down strums. One.
That's me.
That's just Carol, folks. That sounds great. That's a that's a very clear G chord.
Then what do I do?
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Now you're going to change to this other chord where you hold one finger down.
Yeah.
There you go. And cry. Perfect.
Okay.
Boy, you're a quick learner. Cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound. Change to die. Keep it up there. I met her on a mountain. I took her alive. Change. Perfect. Met her on a mountain. Nice timing. Stabbed her back to the G on my life. Everybody, hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Nice. Change without me telling her. She's a natural, folks. Newly. Oh boy, you're bound to die. Back to the G. Now you keep it up on play, Liam.
I'm gonna.
To the D chord. Nice. Stay on that D. To the G. Trying to throw her off and she's sticking to it. Last verse. this time tomorrow. Reckon where I'll be. If it hadn't been for Grayson, I'd be in Tennessee. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. She's got the changes all to herself now. Your head, Tom Dooley. Oh, boy, you're bound. Now just carol. Met her on a mountain. This is real folk stuff, folks. Nice. The G.
Oops.
Close enough for rock and roll. Stabbed her to the G chord.
I don't like that stabbed part. That's the problem.
The G. That was great. That was fantastic.
Oh my God. Well, folks, I was talking about Terry Gross being up front on the radio. So that's it. It's a little tricky when you're trying to do the board as well.
When you take that into consideration, when you take that into consideration that you're doing the program, learning the chords for the first time, sight reading, keeping your time, you were very good at. See, I tried to throw you off with those counter rhythms, but I know you're a dancer.
There you go.
You didn't miss a
step.
Now
Bulgarian's a lot worse. Hey,
you did great.
Mark Josephs is here, and I just learned my first song on the tenor guitar. I think I have to change those words. So that stabbing thing, that's the part that threw me off. Yuck. Anyway, it's fun. Do you ever use a pick on a tenor guitar?
A lot of people do. Mm-hmm. I personally don't. I used to use a pick when I was a kid, and I just like to use my fingers more. People, mm-hmm. You watch guitar players. Some of them use picks. Clapton, Mark Knopfler with Dire Straits doesn't use a pick.
They all play tenor guitars?
No, none of them.
Oh,
do.
Just in general.
No, not until I. But I'm reaching out to those players.
I see.
I am offering Eric Clapton or Mark Knopfler free tenor guitar lessons should they choose to contact me.
To show up, yeah. Okay, so you know what we forgot to do is tell people, what's a tenor guitar?
A tenor guitar is basically a four-string tenor banjo tuned C, G, D, A, which was the most popular instrument in the 1900s. And when guitars got popular, they took a tenor banjo neck and put it on a guitar body and created the tenor guitar so that tenor banjo players could still be included and sound like guitar players. But from that point on, it took in a whole nother world.
And we don't have much time, so tell us who's the guy who popularized it here in this country.
Well, you know, we did Tom Dooley, and that was the number one hit for the Kingston Trio.
There you go.
And Nick Reynolds of the Kingston Trio was the most popular tenor guitar player ever, mainly because there was television, there was Life magazine, you could see his picture, and his son, Josh Reynolds, is on our board of directors, along with Luann Farrar, who's here, our treasurer. And Josh will be here for the gathering, teaching a workshop, telling people exactly what his dad did.
Oh, wow.
And he really tuned it like a baritone ukulele, which mm-hmm. is one reason why we include ukulele players, because there's a very close correlation. I love to use a $10 word like that.
Correlation.
Between the tenor guitar and the ukulele.
Okay, so that's a good point. People who don't play tenor guitar but play...
What? Six string. If they play anything, we'll
anything.
Yeah,
as
they
a matter
play
of
the
fact,
washboard.
I was good.
Accordion.
Okay, that's my thing. I play washboard, and I have been part of this festival ever since it started because I just enjoy the energy and the fabulous music. But now that I have my very own tenor guitar, I might not have as much fun at first because you know when you're learning something new, it's kind of
You were very good with that, though. You were very good.
That was two chords.
I want to make one quickly. There's a free event that doesn't cost any money. That's mm-hmm. why we call it free. It's on Thursday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. There's a jam session on Pier 39. All acoustic instruments welcome. And if you don't have a lot of money to go to the concerts or workshops, the concert on Sunday night is very, very inexpensive. And there's two world-class mandolin players, Brian Oberlin and...
And this is at the Astor Street Opry Company, 129 West Bond.
Sunday. Doors open at 5:45. The concert's from 6 to 8. It's incredibly inexpensive. Mm-hmm. You can just pay right at the door mm-hmm. and hear... let's see... Brian Oberlin, who conducts the Portland Mandolin Orchestra, and the guy that he's bringing with him, Evan Marshall, Chet Atkins has said accolades about him.
Oh, my
So
gosh.
I got to go to hear that.
This is so exciting. I love it. Thank you so much. Wait, what are you saying?
Oh, the rest of the events are at Pier 39. Thursday's at Pier 39. Okay. Friday's at the River Sea.